Treasure for your anus.
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Geek Juice Radio.
Get hyped!
I am hyped. Because we are just moving right along this week with our Final Fantasy Advent criticism.
Da-da-da.
Yes.
Would you like to continue?
Never. The show is over, starting now.
Good night, everybody.
And if you would like to continue your own personal fantasy, you can always go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code JUICE to get 50% off a single item, 3 free DVDs, free shipping in the United States, and a mystery gift, like treasure. And
treasure mystery gift. That's
treasure for your anus.
Perhaps. Is it going to be like hentai tentacle Jowski?
It could be.
And
there's always room for that.
That's for using the promo code JUICE at adamandeve.com.
Juice.
Juice to make juice.
So, we're on Final Fantasy 4.
Yes, we are entering the 16-bit generation now with Final Fantasy IV, which was released widely as 2 in the U.S.
It's 16 bits!
Oh my god! It does what Nintendo can!
Yeah, it didn't have the blast processing, though.
Oh, blast. Oh, blast processing.
But it did have active time battle, which I think it was the first time it had the ATB, right?
Yes, it was. Final Fantasy IV was the intro of ATB. Which is an awesome system, which I'll explain like this. And that's what it is.
Kind of, yeah.
Next, Final Fantasy V. No, I'm just kidding. No, basically it's you could customize whether the enemies attack while you're still deciding what to do, or you can customize it where they wait and everybody takes a turn of action. Is that good?
That works.
Right, and you have this like speed bar that fills up based on some sort of speed stat, which the different characters had different stats, and haste affected that. And
I loved casting haste and watching that little bar. Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
Well, Final Fantasy IV, which is one of my favorites, I think arguably it could be one of the best stories, in my opinion.
Did this have the dragoons in it, or am I thinking of
five? There is a dragoon. There's
a dragoon.
Dragoon.
Technically, Final Fantasy III had a dragoon in it, but that was a class.
Why I'm saying, did they have dragoons plural? Because I'm mixing it with a class.
I only remember there being one.
Because anytime they have a dragoon or a dragoon item, it gives you jump.
Yeah, right, the super high jump. I remember that.
And sometimes it's useful, like in 4, and sometimes it's not, like in Tactics.
And like in 3.
You know, I wouldn't say it's not useful in Tactics. We'll get to that.
The lower ranks are fine, but you start doing like the high level ones and it takes like 10 turns. Nobody's ever in the spot where you select it.
Or you kill them before you land. So
yeah.
It's Final Fantasy IV, you play the Dark Knight Cecil and you work for what was the kingdom called?
Baron.
Yeah. Baron. You work for the Baron Kingdom.
It's
you have to deliver
Baron.
You have
Baron,
to
Baron.
The tourism's great.
You have to deliver a package to the town of Mysidia, I believe, which is a town of mystics, and it turns out to be a bomb in which you find out this huge evil plot that pretty much the king's corrupt and trying to take over the world with the help of Golbez. Cecil gets stripped of his rank because he was the leader of an airship crew. I believe it was the Red Wings.
They earned their Red Wings.
Indeed.
Yeah. They set
all the way to
the
Stanley
bomb.
Cup.
Spoilers for the first 3 minutes of the game. You set them up the bomb.
Yes.
Quite literally.
Yeah. And basically,
Kane, who's rolling D20s in the back?
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Was it a 20?
Some weighted dice.
Yes.
So basically, the Dragoon in the game, which is Kane, which is your best friend, he joins you pretty much in a quest to try to stop the king while being banished from everything. And this game has great characters. It's the first game where I think character development actually shines because the characters are locked into their class and their stats-wise, so you can't change them. It can't be like Final Fantasy II where you build up something. It's not like Final Fantasy III where you choose a class. Everybody's locked into what they are. There's no choice with it. The dialogue is absolutely amazing, and it was written by Takashi Tokita.
He wrote the line about that spoony bard.
Indeed. Well, that was a...
Was that localization?
Was that just like an English translation? Which is funny
or
about
English
the spoony bard.
It would be.
Yeah, no, I'm spoony is a real English word. It means love struck.
But I'm just saying, like, was that translated correctly?
I'm pretty sure that in the Japanese version he said something like, you mother f***.
But, and it translates to spoony bard.
But Edward is a spoony bard in this case.
Funny thing, yeah. Funny thing about Edward is in Japan, his real name was actually Gilbert. And this causes some weird confusion because the character in this game, Edge, who's the ninja, his real name is actually Edward. So there's actually two Edwards in the game, in the U.S. version. And the reason that they changed it to the American version is they felt Edward was a more identifiable name than Gilbert.
And Edge is just an awesome name for a ninja.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, because I don't remember in the game if they actually call Edge Edward. Because I think when he announces, because he's that prince, I think he says he's Prince Edward, blah, 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 blah. But then everybody just calls him Edge as the nickname.
Yeah, I was going to say Prince Edward. That's really relatable there, right?
Yeah.
Well, you could also name them whatever you wanted. You could go
true,
see.
True, yeah.
Most Final Fantasy games I ever played, I always change the name.
Here's a funny thing. When I first played Final Fantasy, I did. Whenever I play Final Fantasy, I played, like, forever. Like, if I play Final Fantasy VII, I'll name them just screwed up crap, because I don't care because I play it so many times. But, like, I used to rename it, but now when I play, like, new Final Fantasy games or, like, any game where you can customize a name, I actually kind of just keep it to the OG.
Yeah, that's what I do lately. I just use the default.
I never really change names. I tend to just go with the canon names. I don't know. Changing them bothers me somehow.
Well, I think as a kid, I like the idea that it's like, oh, I could be the main character, and like, he could be my name, and I could pretend it's me. I kind of like the role-playing experience. But then as I grow older, I just realize, like, this isn't fucking me. So I'm changing, so they're leaving the names. Unless you take it, and this is, I'm totally tangenting off real quick. Unless you play a game like Chrono Trigger, whenever I get Frog in my party, I'll rename him to Glenn. And whenever I get Magus, I'll rename him to Janice, because those are their real names.
Yes, I used to do that too. But no, like, with this game and a lot of the other games, you know, your main hero, I would always give him my name.
Mm-hmm.
His best friend would be whoever my best friend was.
Yeah, pretty much your group.
The love interest of the main character, the girl he falls in love with, was whatever junior high girl I had a crush on at the time.
Yeah. No, I did that in all the games.
So you, like, rename Rosa to, like, Bill?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, Bill, with your long white hair and your bountiful bosoms.
Every girl I ever had a crush on ended up in a Final Fantasy or RPG in general where I could change the name.
Or it was either a chick you had a crush on, or, like, if you didn't have a crush on a chick, it was, like, your favorite chick name.
Right.
And there was then, a lot I of. I guess I'm the only one who never did any of that. I don't know.
And then my friends would come over and see me playing it, and they named their characters the same way. They'd be like, "Really, you like that girl?"
Well, Kevin, you spent all your imagination actually playing tabletops and actually having to use your imagination. So I tip my cap to you.
I always like create. I mean, I create characters. We can talk about this a little bit later, maybe when we wrap it up. Mm-hmm. I actually don't really like JRPGs. We can talk about why later.
Dude, go for it now.
I do somewhat. The stories tend to be pretty good, but they're not really RPGs. I mean, the idea of an RPG is to play a role, which means you choose it and you act it out. Mm-hmm. I think we've had this discussion off air before, but without the option to actually role play the character, to choose dialogue options that fit the personality of the character you've come up with in your head, or in the case of tabletop games, to actually act out the character, you're not really playing a role. You're just kind of guiding these already defined characters through a set story.
So you're just following a preset plot, and that's what bothers you.
Yeah, and that's like any other. In terms of story, they're like any other game. They're longer, certainly, but the only thing really borrowed from true RPGs is stat development and leveling mm-hmm. up, and even then most of these games either have stagnant customization, Final Fantasy VII, where all the characters basically become the same,
right,
or very defined customization like Final Fantasy IV, which I love Final Fantasy IV because I think the characters are well done, but very defined.
Yeah, it's like you're pretty much playing a story. You're not really making the decision or doing anything like that.
The characters in your party are the ones the story determines are in your party each time.
What? Which in Final Fantasy IV, I actually like that. I like how I like how characters. It's as if they come and go as they please. So it's as if that character is an actual character, like coming and going. So like you can't really just like have like I have 10 party members. I'm just going to decide who it is. They come and go. So you have like no decision in it. So which is funny because like as you play it, you're not really playing the role. But then like all the NPCs are playing a role, which is actually pretty funny.
Yeah, and some of the characters that are not part of your party at that time are still helping you out. Like Cid, he's in your party for one chunk of the game, but he's always making you airships and coming to help you out throughout the thing.
And then there's also Rydia the Summoner, which is really cool that you lose her, and then when you get her back, she's like grown up a bunch because of Summoner Land or whatever.
It's on a different time plane.
Well, yeah, it's the Fae thing where like you get lost in the world of the elves and sprites and you know, and then the time advances differently there. It's much quicker. So you know, in the world, you know, only like a couple of months have passed or whatever. Yeah. But meanwhile, 30 years have passed, and you know. And it's cool because she's suddenly really, really powerful. She's my favorite character in Final Fantasy IV.
My favorite, I don't know. That's they're actually a really though. Tough thing. Yeah, they're all pretty good. It's another game.
Even mechanically, Edward is useless, but he's a cool character.
Oh, and thank God he's out of your party fast. And he's one of the few characters you have that dies.
Well, yeah, there's some deaths in this. He does survive because by the end of the game, they're all like, he gets turned to stone or something, right?
No, he falls off the boat, and then he's just sick, and then you meet him again, and he's sick again, and
he just dies in bed.
He pulls
right?
through at the end, though, yeah. or near the end, before you go off to the moon. Spoilers.
Well, I remember Palom and Purim get turned to stone, but then they get
reversed eventually. Yeah, they get reversed. None of the characters dies.
Tella dies.
Tella, because Tella and Golbaz, God, so many spoilers. They fight. What's his name? I can't remember the name of the boss now.
Well, no. Tella fights Golbez. Tella fights.
No. They team fight, up though.
Is it Zemus?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Zemus and Zeromus. Yeah. Because Zemus. Yeah.
Because Golbez has a change of heart and then works with Tella to fight. And...
Yeah. I remember my favorite character was. It's at the end of the game where you get the wizard guy. It's Fusoya. He was like my favorite. Yeah.
He has all the spells.
Yeah. That's probably why. And that's the other cool thing, too, is with the spells in this game, you just don't find items and equip them. You don't, like, or use an item to gain a spell. You don't, get material and equip it, and you have a skill or, like, a relic. You learn spells as you level up, which is an incentive to grind. And I always liked that I thought that made the most sense to me, because the more experience you gain, the more you learn, hence you would learn more spells.
And there were times where you had to grind. Like, when you go to the Summoner Land...
Mm-hmm.
That cave is just nothing but lava squares that do damage as you walk over them. You need float, so you usually have to grind it out.
Or you just have to be a beast.
This game had summoners?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, the one, Rydia.
Yeah, Rydia was a summoner.
She does learn special summons not by leveling, but by beating them, like Odin and
Bahamut. Yeah.
Oh, this actually sounds pretty cool.
And there's two that you can get by.
No, I haven't. I haven't played 4 or 5. I've loosely seen parts of them, and I know I probably mix a lot of what I think is in one into the other.
Yeah,
but I think like I said, I really didn't start with the series until 6.
This is one you should go back, because I think this is the first Final Fantasy game that had probably one of the best original scores ever. The music. Yeah. This is when Nobu Uematsu and the music really took off was in Final Fantasy IV. Like, that was the beginning. The opening with the Red Wings and then just the overworld music. Oh, like, it's a great score.
Oh, I love his music. I even have the Black Mage's metal album.
Oh, I have that, too. That is an amazing album.
Here's
4
a funny
is probably thing. My favorite, just to let everyone know. 4 and 5 are my two favorites. I think 4 is probably my favorite.
4 is really good. I like 4. It deserves to be up there, definitely. With when Final Fantasy IV came out as Final Fantasy II in North America, obviously because they called it II because only one was before it, this is actually when the games, like, they didn't get II and III because it was behind. This is actually the first Final Fantasy where they're relatively close, because in Japan it came out in July of 91, and then North America it came out in November of 91, so same year. Of course, they screw it up with the very next game. But so you start seeing that Final Fantasy start getting woven more into like U.S. U.S. popularity and everything like that. Apparently not good enough for 5, which we'll get to next. But there's always one thing that's always bugged me. If you look at the Japanese box art of Final Fantasy IV, this is what the cover shows. It's 2D side by side. I'm going to start by who shows on the left all the way to the right. It looks like the Final Fantasy I warrior, then it goes Rosa, Edge, then it looks like Final Fantasy I black mage, a Final Fantasy I white mage, and then a chocobo.
And they all look like little kids.
And yeah, and it's Final Fantasy IV where the warrior, black mage, and white mage, you don't even play them. There are black mages and white mages in it, but you don't have that character design, that template, like with the big hat or the big robe.
You see them. You meet them.
Yeah, you see them.
But like, so it's just one of those covers that was handed out to an artist, and they're like, Final Fantasy, get to it.
I think at first I was like, is this like a variant cover for like a special edition of the game? Because that'd be interesting. It's like, no, like that's the Japanese box art for it. Like, I don't understand. And then like the chocobos at the end. It's just really weird.
The American box art was just a sword.
Right, yeah. Very generic, very bland. Final Fantasy 2 has been multiply ported. They even made a sequel game, Final Fantasy 4 The After Years. I think that's on the DS or something like that. And
I'd like to play that sometime, actually.
Yeah, I'm interested, but I think since it's a new game around Modern Square Enix, I might not want to play it because I don't want anything to get ruined.
Yeah,
but
I can see what you're saying.
But one big cool thing in Final Fantasy IV, I believe it's the first Final Fantasy that did this, it's the first Final Fantasy game to acknowledge that you're playing on planet Earth.
Really?
Yeah. You're on planet Earth because they call it Earth in the game, and then you fly to the moon at the end of it. And it's even, and like, it's the first one to actually acknowledge you are on planet Earth.
It is an alternate reality Earth, but it is Earth.
Right, I was going to ask, like, what does the continent look like?
Oh, it's just, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like anything like actual Earth, but it's called Earth.
Duly noted.
Oh, no, there's also a cool thing was all the vehicles you could ride in the game, because you had, like,
You had a hovercraft.
The hovercraft.
You'd end up with, like, a stack of, like, 4 vehicles just moving around the planet, because you have to move for, like, okay, I need the hovercraft to get here, then I need to get the airship, and then I need to get the other airship that goes up, and then the space,
and the one that goes
space
underground.
Whale.
Yeah,
and then you got the one that had the hook to drag another airship, and I remember I spent a while organizing my airships on this one island.
What? This is all in Final Fantasy IV?
Yeah, you have the main world, which is the continent you're on. There's also another completely map of a world where you get the airship with the drill, you go underneath the Earth, and you go in there, and then there's a completely different map when you fly to the moon. And play.
The moon! Holy crap, how have I not freaking played this game?
And all of these airships are constantly being rebuilt and modded by Cid throughout the game.
Yeah, and the dwarves. And the dwarves are like Norse dwarves. Like, they live underground, they build things.
Yeah.
Very cool. Like I said, 4 is my favorite, so.
Yeah.
At one point they give your airship heat shielding to go over the lava, then they give it a drill so you could drill back up, and...
And could possibly have the first ever epic Final Fantasy twist, which I won't spoil, which I'm sure you guys know, except for Ison. One of the biggest probably twist to every hit Final Fantasies in that game story-wise, too. So, I mean, it's really, really good. And, like, when I play it, I don't really feel it's outdated. Like, I could play it on the SNES and, like, enjoy it.
Yeah, it's still very playable.
Yeah.
Was it ported out after the NES to anything?
Yeah, it was. I think the game itself was to the 3DS, and they ported it in 3D.
Yeah, and they also have it on
PlayStation and one of the anthology collections.
No, it was Final Fantasy.
I'll check that out.
I got this. It was ported out to the Final Fantasy Chronicle that came out with Chrono Trigger.
Yes.
No. And Final Fantasy Anthology was 5 and 6.
Oh, okay.
Final Fantasy Chronicles, which actually, funny, came out after Anthology, was Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy IV. Now,
because I thought it was 6 and Chrono Trigger and 4 and 5, but...
No, yeah, Anthology's 5 and 6, and you got the soundtrack.
I have both of them somewhere, I just couldn't remember which one came with which.
Yeah, because Anthology has the cover of 6 on it with the Amano artwork with Terra on the robot. And then the Chronicle ones, it's like split in half. The top says Chrono Trigger, or the top says Final Fantasy IV, the bottom has Chrono Trigger. Now, let's talk
about... SNES games, so that's a pretty good package.
Now, let's talk about this port, actually, because this is important. Final Fantasy Chronicles. Final Fantasy IV, they have some cutscenes that they put in there. But
which I'm always a sucker for their cutscenes, because they... I think for, like, PS1 era, they are the ones who sold how epic cutscenes can really be.
And they also had better translation, and people had the right abilities. Like, if you play Final Fantasy II on the SNES, Cecil as a Dark Knight is supposed to have an attack, I can't remember what it's called, where he basically sacrifices his own HP, and he attacks all the enemies on the screen to do damage. That's in the port of the PS1, because that was originally supposed to be on there. So they kind of correct some things, but... I will say this, though those things are awesome, it is a really, really, really not good port, and neither is the Anthology games. They have some issue porting these games on where you get in a battle, you literally have to wait 10 seconds, and then the battle starts. The port is so bad on that game.
That makes me really sad.
Yeah, like the port...
I mean, I can play the SNES version just fine, but I have a PS1 emulator, too. I wouldn't mind if that was the working one, because I like those cutscenes. I like how it adds some grandeur to something that I guess most people would look at. The graphics are very flat, and it's not for everyone's taste. I certainly don't mind it. I mean, I play RPG Maker games. I have no problem with it. So... Well, that makes me sad. But I'll still check out the Super Nintendo one.
Totally. I would totally do that, dude. I'd just get the cart. I get the OG cart. And also,
If I had a working SNES, I haven't even seen one in probably a decade.
I also want to point out that since we're at Final Fantasy IV, the director's still Hironobu Sakaguchi. He also has a big hand in writing it, too. I just wanted to let you know, because when we start getting the games where he's not there anymore, I really want to point it out. Because Sakaguchi was like the godfather of Final Fantasy. And
so basically you're going to say, you know why this sucked? No Sakaguchi.
And actually, in this game, the main artist that's actually credited, because we know that Amano does artwork for all of them, the main artist that was credited in this is Hiromi Nakata, which does something else later. But actually in the credits, he's like the main guy credited with it.
Huh. Yeah, I've always associated Amano with pretty much every Final Fantasy. Before 9.
Yeah, and it's pretty much, like, I mean, he does stuff for everything, but on this one, this guy got the credit. And Amano gets the credit in, like, pretty much a lot of the stuff. But, like,
art is easily the most eye-catching of probably any concept artist from a video game company I can immediately think of.
Sidetrack, just real quick. We went to our comic book store the other day, and I got Wildstorm makes a Robotech comic. It was Robotech Invasion, and the artwork was Yoshitaka Amano, so I had to buy it.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, it was really, really awesome.
Holy crap! That's... My mind can't handle that kind of awesome. Jesus, titty fucking Christ! Well, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to look that the hell up. So, thanks for that sidetrack. I'm going to be thinking about that the whole time.
So now we move to Final Fantasy V, which... didn't get a U.S. release at the time. It has since come through on ports.
Yep. This is when Final Fantasy Anthology, it got ported to the U.S. in 1999. Once again, another crappy port where you had to wait like 10 seconds for a battle to load. It was a bad part. But I have played and beaten this game once. I've beaten it once.
This one, I'm not... I liked the job system that they do with it, mm-hmm. like they did with 3, but the story has some laughable elements.
Well, first of all, the story is, if I can remember the characters, I know it's Bartz. Ferris, then Gallif, who's the fourth one? It starts with an L. It's Lena, I think it's Lena. I'm pretty sure it's Lena. And I believe the kingdom's called Tycoon, and they have to fight...
X-Death,
that's right!
That was
X-Death.
The stupidest thing. Your character, your main villain is X-Death.
And isn't
his music is awesome though. The battle music is epic.
I was gonna say it sounds like the most metal of metal bands ever.
X-Death.
And wasn't it?
We're not only death. We're death. Who's dead?
Does anybody remember why they were trying? Like, what was X trying to do? Like I said, I played this once. The first time, I couldn't play the port because it was so bad. But I did play and be on emulator ROM, but it was a really, really long time ago. Why were they stopping X-Death? I know it didn't have to do with, like, some other universe or something like that.
I don't remember. I remember him destroying or trying to get steel crystals. That's pretty much the same plot of every Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, the crystals, like you did in 4.
Well, I just remember his universe or whatever was all made of crystals, which is what Final Fantasy IX does to, and as an homage to it, is the last dungeon's made of crystal, and the last dungeon 5 is made of all crystal and stuff. And, yeah, he's just basically trying to take over the world. I mean, people, if you listen to this and you haven't played these Final Fantasy games, I mean, get a life. Like, seriously. You should know this more than we do.
Yes.
Yeah, the job system brought back from Final Fantasy III. They added more jobs, more animations, which looked really awesome. And what else was there? They also had, this is where they started doing, like, little character animations. Like, Final Fantasy IV kind of did it with, like, an arm raise. But this one had, like, little bubbles with, like, exclamation marks or question marks and stuff. Like, emoticons, basically. And it was still using kind of, like, the small sprites. But the reason to play this game for me was just the jobs. That was the major reason for me to play it.
Yeah, you had wider customizability with the jobs in this one.
Yeah, because you could, because everything had different slots you could do, but you can also master some and then customize them. So you had like 4 empty slots. So your selection for fight, and then you had like it was like fight, item, and run. But then you could also equip, like, I think it was like X fight where you attack 4 times, or you could put like the steel there. You could put the skills you mastered in there. So if you chose to, I think, stick with the default one was still Squire. I'm not sure. Like, you could have fully customizable stuff. And before I ramble on, I have to make a correction of a mistake I made in the last episode. Because I think I said Final Fantasy 2 or 3, they're thinking about porting to Windows. That is a lie. They did try to do it as Final Fantasy 2. They did try to do the port as Final Fantasy 2 Dark Shadow over Palakia. But Final Fantasy 5 was actually a game they tried to port to Windows that they didn't do it. And,
you son of a bitch.
I'm sorry, I'm correcting myself. And this is the game they actually tried twice, because I guess before they tried doing PC, Final Fantasy V was going to come out in America, and they were going to call it Final Fantasy Extreme.
Extreme! Well, you've got X-Death. That's what the X stands for.
Wait, what year was this that they were going to put Extreme in it? What year was it going to come out and be called that?
Well, it originally came out in Japan in 92, so if they're kind of porting, it was the end of 92, so they were probably planning on 93.
Oh, that is an extreme year! I think that's when they were doing G.I. Joe Extreme, when they were having the silly late, like, post-80s drug war.
Extreme 90s, bro!
Oh, man.
Of course, you had a Cid in this game.
Yeah, and his...
Who was an old engineer.
And his cousin Mid.
Yes.
Or his nephew or whatever. His nephew Mid.
And you also had X-Death's henchman, Gilgamesh.
Oh, yeah, Gilgamesh.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What?
His first appearance is in Final Fantasy V, yeah. That's his first appearance is in 5, I believe. And also, not as like a super major character, but it's the first time a chocobo kind of had a leading role, in which a chocobo was named and you already had him as your steed, which was Boko, which is the first like kind of chocobo lead thing where Bartz would ride him and he'd call him by an actual name and he'd always be there and they'd be like kind of like friends and stuff. Kind of like
a Pona?
Yeah, exactly. So Boko was probably the first actual customized named chocobo that you didn't change the name of. I don't even know if you could do it in the previous ones, but it's like the actual first leading chocobo in one of the Final Fantasy games.
And then eventually they end up with Waka.
The worst chocobo ever.
It's a chocobo playing a human. What the hell is going on here?
Well, he has the hairstyle down for a chocobo.
So now,
because when I think chicken, I think Mexican accent.
Waka Waka, son. And then there was an OVA anime series, Legend of the Crystals, that's a sequel to Final Fantasy V that came out. But I've only seen...
Okay, it was a sequel to Final Fantasy V, because yep. When I first saw it is when I first got into like Final Fantasy VI and VII. It was at the rental store. And so I, not being familiar with 5, I guess I didn't make the association. I just thought it was like how Japan would just call something something and it'd be something else.
Yeah, it's like, it's, if I recall correctly, it's 200 years after the events in 5. The giveaway is they show like the world map at the beginning of it, and it's the exact Final Fantasy V world map. And I believe that the one of the heroines, the chick, is a descendant of Bartz. I believe, I'm pretty sure that's right. So she's the descendant of the main character in Final Fantasy V.
She's the love child of Bartz and Boko.
Yeah. You could tell because of her 7 titties.
And feathers.
Coming out of her bunghole. But I only watched the first one. It was okay. I wanted to watch all of them just so I could be like, what connections can I make? But I mean, based on how we're talking about Final Fantasy V and I can't remember the story, I'd probably just fail miserably at that.
Now we come to what is widely considered the greatest game in the series by many people.
By me, Final Fantasy VI is my personal favorite.
My personal favorite as well, Final Fantasy VI. But it's important to note here, this one's not directed by Sakaguchi. He produced it. And you can start to see where his writing dropped off with this one.
And it's directed by Yoshinori Kitase, who helped him write Final Fantasy V. And then eventually Kitase merged in and took over directing job for VI.
Yes.
And he also wrote, Kitase also wrote this one, too.
Because this one, all the originals took place in a medieval environment. Sure, you had airships and stuff. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy VI more moves like through a steampunk. You've got technology. You've had an industrial revolution happen in this world.
Yeah,
the cities are really, really playing off the kind of steampunky industrial feel, for sure.
Final Fantasy VI was the Game of Thrones of its time, based on how the characters play out and how there's so many multiple different stories and how you play different parts with it.
There are 14 permanent playable characters, the most of any game.
And
there's times
all really
Final
interesting
Fantasy game. We could talk about Chrono Cross and it's like 50 characters.
So yeah,
I don't know what they're trying to do with that. I like Chrono Cross, don't get me wrong. That, I just stuck with the same 3 people. I didn't really mix and match.
The ones
anyway
that actually have, like, a plot, rather than, like, hey, this is random barmaid I picked up. She punches thing and has water element. And that's
and
her whole story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you had 14 different characters, but the game in Final Fantasy VI, they made you use those 14 characters.
Well, not all of them, because
yeah, you could do it without some, but
the Abominable Snowman, I think it was Umaga. I don't remember what his name is. What's Umaga? That sounds like something else.
I think
Amaru.
Was
Amaru is the, and then the, who is the mimic guy?
Go.
Yeah, Amaru, go. You don't have to get.
Oh
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can
so
dump Gao off in the Veldt to never come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was? Oh, I gotta look this up. What was the artist chick's name who can draw anybody and
Realm
then use
Realm
her attack?
Yeah.
I actually used her a lot.
She was kind of cool. I don't know. I mean, all the characters are neat and sick. My only issue with VI. I have one issue with VI. Kefka is the biggest melodrama villain like ever, like mustache twirlingly evil, and everyone thinks he's the greatest villain of all time.
He's a clown. He's literally a clown.
Yes.
But you know what? He's so over the top and almost so gloriously corny. Because he, it's
yeah,
not
it
like
because
he's steering right into he steers directly into the corniness of being like such a stereotypical.
I know, but the rest
kind
of the game is so like, it's so serious. Like if it was like Far Cry Blood Dragon, where the whole thing is a big joke, yeah, that would be awesome. He's the only jokey part of the whole game.
The stuff I saw with Kefka, because
well,
like,
and what was that? The octopus. He's goofy too, but
Ultros. Yeah. Good Ultros. God, Ultros.
Like, I don't know, Kefka, like, he does some legit evil stuff in that game.
Yeah, but he's evil for the sake of evil. He doesn't have, like, motivations outside of, I'm evil.
I thought he
well,
was, like,
he wants
legitimately
power.
Insane.
He's greedy
like,
for power.
I honestly thought Kefka was just a crazy person. That's what I thought he was.
Yeah,
like, yeah, kind of like an almost Napoleonic, like, I'm just
no, I meant like, I thought he was, like, Joker crazy. Like, Batman Joker.
Yeah,
I
he
just
is basically
literally
the Joker, yeah, yeah. But with, I don't know, he just never felt right within the context of the game. Like, I never felt like, man, this guy's a badass, and I understand his motivations, but I better stop him because he's, you know, it's not like that. I don't
which
know.
Is, which
well,
is
like
kind
just
of
my dislike for certain tropes anyway. So.
You get that part with the floating island in there, and you've got Kefka and the Emperor with their three statues, and they're like, we can rule the world, and then Kefka starts moving the statues around, and even the Emperor's like, what are you doing? You're going to destroy the world, and he's like, I don't care, I'm Kefka.
Well, yeah, see, the Emperor Gestalt, whatever, actually had motivations and was a decent villain, because you kind of understood his, like, power in his fascism. Kefka's just like, I'm going to destroy everything because...
But that's why he was... Kefka was kind of Starscream.
The best villains are villains you can understand and identify with, but still understand why you have to stop them.
And like, when you get to the World of Ruin, apparently Kefka has this death beam in his castle, and he shoots it at this town, and they're like, what's going on? Oh, Kefka does this every Tuesday because he's Kefka.
Well, it's like, I think it's actually funny, though, because he is kind of the clown. And when you play, the first half of the game, you're kind of like, being like, he's just going around doing goofy shit all the time, and you're like, what's going on? But then it is kind of funny that at the end he just gets all that power. It's entertaining to me. I don't think he's like, I don't know if he's my favorite villain, but I don't know, it just entertains me.
Of course, what am I talking about? Final Fantasy villains. Look at the stupid villains in some of the other games. Sephiroth is emo and got mommy issues, and at least he's sort of well written. Who's the villain in 8? I don't even remember.
Which one?
Yeah.
There's right, Edia.
None of them are interesting.
And then
9, I don't remember because I hated some of the characters in 9 so much that I couldn't finish it.
Oh, we'll get to 9.
10, you had stupid Maester, whatever his name is, Seymour. God, that character sucked. And then you had whatever Sin, but the whole thing is basically a dream, and Titus isn't real, and
so basically 11's
an MMO, so that doesn't count. I don't know the villain in 12; I never played it.
So basically, as far as Final Fantasy goes, Kefka's not that bad.
Yeah, I guess. Except your final
battle with Kefka at the end. What the hell is he? He's just a giant tower of surreal artwork with an angel
epic.
On top.
I just think because of that. He was 3 levels, or was it 4 or 5 levels
that you scroll up and you fight just chunks of art.
I think that boss fight is, and especially like Final Fantasy V and Final Fantasy IV, like that with the transitions and the different level of bosses.
Yeah.
It's basically like, let's try to display the Super Nintendo as best we can. That's why I think they kind of did that.
I mean, the Kefka fight had amazing music, though.
I thought it was awesome. I remember beating that game. And it was totally on accident. Everybody was down to their last hit points. Terra pulls out her sword. Not even a big attack. And that was it. And I swear to God, I cried.
You used Terra?
Terra was in my party. But remember that. There's nothing else I can do.
The last fight, you would start with your 4, but if somebody died and they were like dead for a turn or two, it would just swap them out with somebody that was not in your party and still alive.
I don't know if I died in that fight. I don't know. But I do remember that. Oh, I remember hearing about that, but I don't remember if I died or not. I don't know.
But every character...
I beat that kind of recently, but it hasn't been that long. But, like, first of all, we should probably explain what the story is, because we're just saying all this random stuff.
There's the War of the Magi, where they used espers, and so there was magic in the world, and Kefka has worked to capture espers and suck out their essence to bring magic back so he could conquer the world with his steampunk robots.
Well, and the underlining story is the Emperor is trying to, I believe it's harness magics just so he can get the power and everything like that. So it's basically, and he's like trying to get the power from it by enslaving people with the power so he could control it. And then Kefka comes as their own thing. So basically a bunch of youthful people in revolt have to save the world.
They're called the Returners. That's what their resistance organization is.
The Returners. And did you, what was your guys' favorite character, though, of the 14?
7.
Locke? Or Shadow?
What about you, Kevin?
Solis or Locke. It kind of depends. Like, Mog. I liked Mog, too. I don't know.
Yeah, Mog was cool. I like because you could equip all those different weapons.
And he did his dances.
Around. Water Rondo.
Yeah.
His dance is based on whatever platform, terrain you were on.
Yeah. And my favorite was Cyan. The guy with the
masters. I hated Cyan.
I love
his
Cyan.
Character. His mechanics are kind of...
I liked his character. I liked his backstory. But his special attack, his sword tech, sit there and hold A and watch this bar slowly creep up.
He almost never used anything past about 3 because it was just not worth the time.
I usually built up to 4, but he was my favorite character. And I did like his backstory and everything. Plus, I don't know, he always looked cool. I remember when I first played it, I'd name him Zoro because he kind of had like the Zoro look to him. And he was my favorite. Plus, I just like the guy with like just the sword arts. I like stuff like that. Or anybody that can use like magic sword in any of the other Final Fantasies. Like, I like stuff like that.
See, I also like it's Edward, right? The
with his tools.
Yeah, and his jaunty like green and purple like long coat.
I like his little finger wag.
And he'd come
that
out.
Dude was pretty awesome. I liked him because he's got that. My favorite character is always like the sarcastic ass. So, and Edward would kind of fit that character, and that's in. I always already, and his abilities are pretty strong. I mean,
yeah, they are. His tools are. I know, like, I love using that drill. I like using the stuff that's just like really weird, like something that where, because like the chainsaw. That's what I'm thinking of, where he just
chainsaw's really
hacks
strong.
On the chainsaw with them.
Yeah, and
either chainsaw. Instant kills somebody or like does a ton of damage to like.
When he instant kills somebody, he's got on like the welder mask and comes at you like Leatherface.
Yeah. Yep. And I believe, if I recall correctly, Kefka is technically the first, I don't want to say video game character, one of the first things to have a voice, because he has that laugh in the game.
Ah!
Yeah, which is actually, like, and they recycle that and use it in, like, everything. But I think he was the first probably Final Fantasy character to actually have some sort of vocal thing in a game.
Last note about Kefka, there's actually a really... decent Kefka model for Unreal Tournament 2004. I use him all the time.
Awesome. And there's Cid in this game would be Celeste's adoptive grandfather or something, who's an engineer.
I did not like Cid in this game. I didn't like him.
He was like a yellow blob man. Almost.
Yeah, he was. He had that weird ass hood.
Yeah. And then he dies. You feed him fish.
He looks like, what are those Russian dolls that open
him.
Up?
You can save him, yeah. It's difficult. You have to,
it's
like...
It's extraordinarily hard. That's my experience. I failed last time. I played a couple of months ago, maybe a year ago, and I failed again.
Because he's, that? Like, sick and dying, and it's just you and Celeste, and...
You gotta find, like, good fish, and it's hard, because you're under a time limit.
And the good fish are the ones that are healthy and moving fast and getting away from you. The ones you can catch easier, like... sickly cancer fish that just makes Cid die faster.
Yeah, kill him faster.
I can't remember if I saved Cid or not.
If I'm doing a speed run, I feed him like the sickest damn.
If I didn't like Cid in that game, I'd probably just let him die. Have you guys ever seen the show Pop Fiction on Game Trailers?
Nope.
No, I haven't.
I don't think so. Is that like
it's
like
they basically
video for?
No, they take like glitches or rumors, video game rumors, and they try to determine if they're true or false. Like, for example, one of the obvious ones was, like, can you bring Aeris back to life? And they try every single method they find on the internet to see if it's right or wrong. And but they found a glitch in Final Fantasy VI where you have to do one game where it's to get the airship at the beginning of the game. Like, you have to...
Oh, yeah, because you switch airships halfway through.
Wait, so you cannot use Aeris? Like, there is no trick... Other than, like, a mod if you're playing the PC
We'll
version.
Get to that when we get to Final Fantasy VII, because there is a glitch. A legit glitch.
I was going to say, because they give her, like, all kinds of stuff, like, powers and stuff that you never get to use if you don't use it, that glitch.
We'll get to that. But there's
The thing is, you can, before, like, the end of Disc 1, you can get her, like, ultimate weapon limit break, so level 4 limit break. So she was definitely not designed... to stick around, considering how much earlier you get her stuff than anybody else's.
And the two glitches in sixes, because remember General Leo?
Yes, I remember. Yeah, people were trying to unlock him. You play one battle with him where he dies.
Yeah, there's a way you can glitch him out where he's in your party for part of the game. There's also a glitch. I don't remember how it is. So anybody listening, go to GameTrailers.com, watch Pop Fiction, and they'll tell you. But there's a glitch to get the airship at like the beginning of the game as soon as you're like outside Figaro. And then there's a glitch to get General Leo in your party. Crazy stuff. But Final Fantasy VI, my favorite. This one also had the system where you equip the Esper and you learn the spells by gaining ability points, and then you keep them, or the relics. Wait,
Yeah.
No, espers. And it's a.
If I remember
espers,
right,
you're equipped the.
There's a part on the train where you can have ghosts in your party, just random ghosts.
Yeah, you could pick them up, but they leave at the end of that train level. But you would have these random ghosts chilling with you.
So there, I guarantee there's a way to glitch the game out to get ghosts in your party.
No, it was the first time where, considering you could equip anybody with any Esper, and you could summon the Esper if you wanted to, but it was mostly to learn the spell.
Yeah.
So it was teach everybody Ultima, and just Ultima your way through the game.
What was that, well, it's either you could learn the spell Ultima or get the weapon, the Ultima weapon. You had to choose between the two.
And the way to cheat every boss fight was Vanish X-Death.
Yeah, Vanish Doom, Vanish X-Zone would kill just about everybody in the game, including all the dragons and, like, most of the bosses in Kefka's Castle.
And then, who is that robot game, boss? Yeah, like, there's that robot you fight. He walks around in a square, I think, on your way up to Kefka's Tower. And, like, he just looks like a random boss, and you go to fight him, and he's, like, he's an optional boss that's, like, super tough. I can't remember what it's even called.
Oh, the Atma weapon or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Throwback is to he the one with the dog with the gears in his ribs and all that?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
He's a throwback to the war mech you could sometimes fight on the bridge in Final Fantasy I in Tiamat's air castle.
Well, he's a jerk. I remember the first time I played that, I randomly found him like, oh, what the heck is this? I was like, oh, it's just a boss fight. And then he destroyed me.
I remember like getting halfway through him thinking, oh, man, I'm whipping this guy. And then he does some move where all of a sudden all these gears in his rib cage start revving up. And there's this little light pulse from it. And he just proceeds to whip my ass to oblivion.
So that is it for this week.
Yeah.
I guess we're not getting to 7.
No,
we will. Next week we get to 7 and the downward spiral that follows.
Oh, really? I thought the downward spiral was after 9.
Oh, well, yeah, but well.
All great conversation and debate is in the future.
Yes, join us next week when we talk about more of our Final Fantasy Advent criticism.
Yeah.
So, outros, I'm Alex Drowski of Geek Juice Media. Tom?
I'm Tom Bad Guy. Check me out at www.tombadguy.com. And please check out our podcast, Tales of Relevant Thought, at vtwproductions.com. And you can hear new episodes every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
And Kevin?
I'm going to plug Vintage Italian on adult.geekjuicemedia.com. Warning, not safe for work. Over 18 only, please.
In
watch
there.
Watch Jowski and I review hardcore Italian and some softcore Italian porn from the past, I don't know, 30 years, 40 years or so.
Well, I know what I'm doing after this.
And Iason.
Yes, I'm Iason Skullsaber, and I do free and legit games.
Yeah.
Over at the Geek Juice site.
All right, so join us next week as we continue this look at Final Fantasy. Until then, good night.